Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the official Wrestle Kingdom 18 preview show here on Fightful's YouTube channel. I am Scott, and with me today is the lead English voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Walker Stewart. Walker, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Scott. You got to know that I am, because today we're talking about Wrestle Kingdom. It's my favorite time of the year. It's my new favorite time of the year, but hell, it's my favorite time of the year now, and you got to know that I have a lot to say going into Wrestle Kingdom. I'm going to have a lot to say throughout Wrestle Kingdom, because I'll be on the broadcast live at the Tokyo Dome January 4th, which I'm super excited about. So I'm happy to get into it here tonight with you.
This feels like the perfect opportunity to get people who maybe are, you know, looking at the show and they see the Bryan Danielson match and they're like, oh, you know, maybe this is when I jump in to New Japan Pro Wrestling. I know a lot of new fans likely will because of Bryan Danielson and so on, but this is a very exciting card up and down, I would say. And this is, of course, your first Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah. So with a few days out, how are you feeling?
I'm motivated. I'm pumped up. There's a lot of high and a lot of positive energy going throughout the locker room right now, and that extends over to the broadcast booth as well, with myself and Chris Charlton on the English side, and then everyone on the Japanese side as well. There's a lot of positive energy emanating out of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I'd also argue out of Japanese professional wrestling in general, the NOAH, the All Japan, the Stardom, everything. Everyone is looking forward to 2024. But I know that it's going to be super exciting, because we are the ones who get to kick things off in 2024. And as you know, New Japan always delivers. And I'm excited to talk about what's going to be delivering, what we're going to be delivering on the night of January 4th, and even preview a little bit, maybe going into January 5th. What are our expectations on New Year's Dash as well? Because that's a pivotal moment. That's a turning point oftentimes in New Japan Pro Wrestling at the kick of the year. So, you know, I'm fired up for it overall, though. You know, my first time ever in the Tokyo Dome, it'll definitely be the largest show I've ever been a part of. 8 times over, actually, is what it's sounding like. So I'm super fired up. Can't wait to talk about it with you tonight.
New Japan has their hands in pretty much everything, right, this upcoming week. They're calling it Wrestle Kingdom Week for a reason. It starts really on January 2nd with Pro Wrestling Noah. If anyone's looking at that card, it is filled with New Japan matches. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr. will preview their Wrestle Kingdom match and a tag team match, as well as Kaito Kiyomiya, Shota Umino, Ryohei Oiwa, and others taking on House of Torture. I know Tomohiro Ishii is heading on that show, so it's a packed show. And then, of course, January 4th starts before Wrestle Kingdom. And I wanted to make sure, as the Stardom guy, as the Joshi guy here at Fightful, we do touch on this right before, for the first time ever, Stardom will be running Itaeon Stardom Gate 2024 from the Tokyo Dome City Hall. And the main event will be the IWGP Women's Title match. It will be Mayu Iwatani defending against Shuri. This is huge. This is a gigantic match for Stardom. Of course, 1 year ago, we saw the IWGP Women's Title defended on Wrestle Kingdom. The move has been made to change that up after they wrestled for, 6 minutes or so when Kairi defeated Tam Nakano. And then Mercedes Moné, of course, made her debut. Obviously, you're going to be a little bit busy that day, I'd argue, in the Tokyo Dome, but I'm sure this is one that you will be watching when you get the chance. And to me, it's the official kickoff to Wrestle Kingdom, the official unofficial kickoff in many ways, because when you read those IWGP letters, you know there's prestige, you know there's importance. So, Walker, heading into this match on this first time ever show, what are your expectations?
Well, you know, it's the first championship defense for Mayu Iwatani, coming off of an injury, coming off of her return at Dream Queendom, of course. And, you know, it's going to be a very interesting time to see. She hasn't defended that championship since November 10th in Dallas, Texas, Lone Star Shootout against Stephanie Vaquer. I'm not really sure what to expect. We know the types of competitors that these two women are. We know the type of champion that Mayu Iwatani has been. One thing I'm excited about, though, you talked about, you know, a sub 8 minute match or whatever it was for the women at the previous Tokyo Dome event. And I've heard a lot of people talking of even Mayu Iwatani herself saying, I want to compete in Tokyo Dome. I want to compete in Tokyo Dome. I think this is the first start to that, and in an environment where they might be given a little bit more of an emphasis, they might be given a little bit more of an opportunity to thrive in the Tokyo Dome City Hall event rather than, you know, at Wrestle Kingdom 18. However, I really am hopeful to see in 2024 an emphasis put on Stardom and the connection with New Japan and Bushiroad. I'm hopeful for hopefully a showcase of women's action and Joshi action at Wrestle Kingdoms to come. We know that January 2025, of course, Wrestle Kingdom 19 will be on a Saturday, which, you know, there's talks of people wanting to pack the place out as always. And I think that a women's match would aid to that. So this is just the building blocks, the stepping stones. And I got to say, I'm really optimistic. Whatever result that we get between these two women at the Tokyo Dome City Hall event, I'm fired up for it. And I think it's going to kick us off the right way into 2024.
So for those who may not know much about these two, Mayu Iwatani is the icon of Stardom. You know, you talk about the ace in Hiroshi Tanahashi. Mayu has been that for Stardom. She's been there since day one. That's when she made her debut in their very first show, and she's here now representing them on another big stage. Shuri is someone who, you know, former UFC fighter, former World of Stardom champion, one of the best in the world, plain and simple. And in their career going head to head, Shuri has the overall advantage at 2-1. She's won the past two matches against Mayu, including in this year's 5-star Grand Prix. So if there's an edge to be had in this big match, Shuri has it, which could mean we are seeing a new IWGP Women's Champion come January 4th, which I think is quite exciting. This is a match that I wanted to see back when Mayu won the title back in April. I felt it would have been a fitting match for a place like Dominion had we seen the IWGP title defended on one of these New Japan shows. But I'm happy we're getting it now, and I think we've reached the point with the title that it could change hands at any time.
Yeah, potentially so. And, you know, you talk about that last two victories for Mayu Iwatani's opponent. But keep in mind, you know, there's a certain confidence and a certain swagger that comes with becoming a champion. And I really think that that's something that you can't underestimate when it comes to Mayu Iwatani. I think a lot of people were doing so at Lone Star Shootout going into her matchup with Stephanie Vaquer. They've underestimated Mayu Iwatani in the past, but a fighting champion as ever, we're going to see if her confidence has been rocked coming off a little bit of a minor injury that she's taken the time to heal up. Of course, it'll be an interesting one to find out at the Tokyo Dome City Hall show. And I hope that everyone supports that event just as much as they may Wrestle Kingdom 18 this year.
Absolutely. But let's get to Wrestle Kingdom 18, January 4th, inside the Tokyo Dome. It's the annual big event. I'd say it is one of the most highly anticipated events in professional wrestling every single year. It's right there with the WrestleManias of the world and so on. So, and All In now, of course, that AEW now runs.
Right.
But this is very exciting. The pre-show will be kicking off, of course, with the Rambo, the annual Rambo. It will all lead to a four-way in the end. So the final four members of this match will then go to New Year's Dash the following day to contend for the KOPW 2024 championship, which of course Taichi won last year. The KOPW championship, I think, has been a lovely addition to the New Japan lineup. So I'm always excited to see the Rambo get some actual stakes to it. Unlike it kind of used to. It used to just kind of be, you know, a battle royal for fun. You have this, you know, you've had surprises in the past, and we'll probably have surprises this time around. But I'm looking forward to seeing what or who comes out of the Rambo this year. And really, the best way to preview this is, who would you like to see get into that final four?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that I, for one, am frankly shocked might not be on the Wrestle Kingdom 18 card. I know there's a lot of younger stars that some people were expecting to see, a lot of people who had a very interesting 2023 that they thought might lead to some sort of matchup at Wrestle Kingdom 18. And while that may not be the case, I think that there's always an opportunity to showcase yourself in this preliminary style matchup that could lead to a championship and a big title run when it comes to 2024. You look at the final four people in the Rambo last year. It was Great Okan, Shingo Takagi, Sho, and Toru Yano. We've seen Sho had a very interesting standout in Super Junior Tag League. We now see Shingo Takagi in, you know, the Never Open Weight Championship match at Wrestle Kingdom this year against Tama Tonga. We're going to talk about that later on. Great Okan had a great match with John Moxley at Power Struggle, even though he was unsuccessful. And Toru Yano, you know, he's Toru Yano. What are you going to do about it? But the thing is, you always have fun during these matches. You know, it's the Rambo. We're having a good time. And it's the right to challenge, of course, the four-way going to be taking place the next day at New Year's Dash. I know I'd like to see some sort of combination of the War Dogs, Gabe Kidd, Alex Coughlin involved. Of course, War Dogs will also be in action later on in Junior Heavyweight Tag Team championship defense, which we'll talk about that later on. But you know, the likes that honestly we saw in last year's Rambo, I'm sure that Taichi is going to want to come in and try and claim KOPW 2024 at the beginning, become a two-time KOPW champion of the year by the end of this upcoming year as well, as he has for 2023. Guys like Jeff Cobb, we saw Kenta in last year's matchup as well. I mean, you never know who you're gonna see. I would think, for one, if I had to make a pick, though, and Scott, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this as well. If there's one person that's not on this Wrestle Kingdom card that I think I would like to see have an early going in this this KOPW situation, this is more previewing New Year's Dash now, but I'd love to see Hanare make it through this, you know, final four in the Rambo, challenge and win and kick off with a bit of a run, kick off with a bit of a championship reign and see if he can keep it all the way throughout 2024. I think Canary's had a great year. He had an incredible showcase in that Corcoran Hall main event in the six-man tag championship defense that United Empire were unsuccessful in, but no one was talking about United Empire being unsuccessful. They were talking about what Hanare did during that matchup. I think 2024 is the year of Hanare. This might be the beginning of it.
Yeah, Hanare, of course, had the big match with Shingo Takagi for this very belt earlier in 2023 that really made waves for him as a competitor. And I think they're waves that he can and should be carrying into this match. I'd like to obviously see Taichi get to the final, you know, the big four, because I feel like the defending champion of the previous year should probably just have a shot already. But hey, you know what? I'm all for making them work for it. He is my top option to get into this match. I think if Gabe Kidd is in this match, he's another option to look at, especially after his year. It'll be interesting to see the United Empire, obviously, right? Because we are in a confusing time for that group, right? Will Ospreay, of course, soon is off to AEW. And then, you know, Great O'Conn, Hanare, Jeff Cobb, Francesco Kira, TJP. They have to try and, you know, step up, I think, with him on the way out. Who's going to be the one to step up? And maybe that's what we see in this Rambo.
Yeah, I mean, Will Ospreay was calling for leadership of some sort. Someone that I think 2024 we need to keep our eyes on, and we very well could see in this KOPW matchup at New Year's Dash as well. And I'd love to see him have an opportunity at this. It's Callum Newman, you know, Callum Newman. Yes. I don't know if you saw it, had an incredible showing against Tomohiro Ishii, came away unsuccessful, but it showed us exactly what we thought was capable of Callum Newman, but we needed to see it in action. And seeing the way he took Ishii to the limit while he didn't secure the victory at the end of the day, he's shown that he has the skills to pull off a potential KOPW championship reign for the first part of 2024 and maybe defend it all the way throughout. So you want to talk about stepping up, claiming singles championship gold, claiming a title like King of Pro Wrestling in the year of 2024. I think it's a good way to start it out.
Absolutely. Speaking of United Empire, we got the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championships on the line in the opening match of the main card. It will be the Super Junior Tag League winners. Francesco Akira and TJP catch 2-2, facing off with the Bullet Club War Dogs, the champions, Clark Connors and Drilla Maloney. If you want to talk about two teams that have made waves this year, it is these two teams. Catch 2-2 have an argument to be the tag team of the year, not only in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but in all of pro wrestling. If anyone followed their run over the past year, you were left, I think, impressed, maybe even surprised by how great they have become as a duo. And then, of course, the War Dogs have been running wild all over New Japan over the past year since forming under David Finlay. How do you feel, Walker, about this match? There's a lot of hungry talent in this match, I think. And I think that's kind of the War Dogs' mantra in many ways, is being hungry and wanting to prove themselves, especially on this big stage.
You know, I'd argue that, you know, if you want to make the claim that Acura and TJP are in the running for best tag team of the year, sure, I think there's an argument to be made there. You know who I think would disagree with that? I just recently heard an interview that Clark Connors did where he said he believes not only are they tag team of the year, but beyond that, the best junior heavyweight tag team in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling. You talk about confidence, right? Yeah. How can you not be confident if you are Clark Connors, if you are Drilla Maloney, you were challenged by TJP. Keep in mind, Acura not involved in this decision along for the ride. Challenged by TJP, the last show of 2023, to the first ever coffin match in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you win, and you put the man who challenged you away in that coffin. TJP, I don't think we've seen TJP since that coffin door slammed shut. I didn't see any backstage comments from him. The only things I heard out of Francesco Akira were asking for TJP's whereabouts. And I'm going to be honest, as much of a journalist as I am, I haven't been able to get any word from Acura or TJP on what the situation is going in to this junior heavyweight tag team championship match at the Tokyo Dome. Maloney and Connor said that the official Wrestle Kingdom card is not going to be starting off with a championship match going 60-minute time limit. They said it's starting off with they'll have a 60-minute celebration of being the greatest junior heavyweight tag team and the junior heavyweight tag team championships in New Japan Pro Wrestling belonging to them. I mean, I don't know what to expect. If we do get this matchup, if this matchup does end up happening, I know that Acura and TJP are going to come in. Two things, one of which they're going to come in incredibly damaged. We saw the way the Akira and TJP, well, we didn't even see how TJP ended up, but we know about what's happened, you know, the coffin and everything. But we saw the way that Akira was hung up on those ropes and the breathing ability cut off for Francesco for multiple minutes. We could be looking at damage long-term on both ends of Catch 2-2. Joel Maloney and Clark Connors know that they're the ones responsible for that. I don't really know where the confidence would lie for Catch 2-2. I know that a fully confident War Dogs team is what we're getting at Wrestle Kingdom 18. And I think that might spell disaster for Catch 2-2 in the end, but we're going to have to find out.
Catch 2-2 is 0-3 against mm-hmm. these War Dogs. Yes. They, of course, lost the junior tag titles back at Strong Independence Day at Corken Hall. And they have not been able to get their number since. They lost in the tag league, and then they lost that coffin match, as you said. So like you've been saying, this is backs against the wall almost for United Empire for Catch 2-2. This is, you know, assuming TJP shows up, this is everything for them. This is kind of, it feels like almost the last chance to get these titles back, where, you know, you don't only go back to the line, to the back of the line, but you're waiting a while. There's a lot of hungry tag teams in this division waiting to get back on top.
Right. Well, yeah, you got to mention you're talking numbers. Let's talk numbers here. Catch 2-2 have had only one match in the Tokyo Dome together, and they were successful in that matchup. So 100% winning record in Wrestle Kingdom environment in the Tokyo Dome. It was against Lio Rush and Yo that they first won those junior heavyweight tag team championships with one another. I know that Acura, if he has to come out to ringside alone to fight the battle by himself, I know he's going to do it. I'm not sure if the legalities will allow for that bell to ring, but I know he's going to be at ringside and he's going to be looking for a fight one way or another, because whether the tag team championships are on the line, there is an avenging nature to Francesco Akira because of the way that Bullet Club War Dog subsequently put TJP, one of Acura's greatest mentors in professional wrestling, not only his tag team partner, but a very close friend, down and out. And again, we haven't seen TJP since then. So, you know, you want to talk about overcoming adversity, though. We've seen Francesco Akira and TJP do it before. That's how they won the junior heavyweight tag team championships. A lot of people wrote them off, and they were successful in that match at Wrestle Kingdom 17. A lot of people wrote them off in the finals of Super Junior Tag League this year against House of Torture. How are you going to combat the numbers? Well, they managed to do it anyway to earn themselves this shot. I don't ever want to be the ones to bet against Catch 2-2, but without knowing about the physical state of Francesco Akira or TJP, I think this one's a wash. I think it's going to be the same result as we've seen before, 0-3. It'll end up 0-4 if we can't end up finding out the status, or if the status is you know, a no contest for Akira and TJP.
Next up, we got Hiroshi Tanahashi, President Ace, facing Zack Sabre Jr. for the New Japan World TV Championship. Of course, this title was made official last year when Zack Sabre Jr. beat Ren Narita to win the belt, and he has since been arguably wrestling's best champion since winning that title. He's defended it in some of the best matches all year against contenders from high and low, from, you know, Impact, from AEW, from Ring of Honor, and of course from New Japan Pro Wrestling. But there's no greater challenge than Hiroshi Tanahashi, who of course over the past week has been named the new president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He will be running the ship moving forward. The ace at the top. Before we get into the match itself, Walker, what is your feeling towards the new president? And what can you tell us about how the roster is feeling with him now on top?
You know, I found out about the announcement the day before it happened, and that was when President Tanahashi said to the locker room that this was happening, and then I ended up hearing it through said locker room grapevine. Now the news is out, and we can talk about it. Hiroshi Tanahashi is a man who I believe would give the shirt off of his back to help anyone in need. He's one of the most selfless people that you will meet, not only in professional wrestling, but also in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that has been seen time and time again throughout championship reigns, throughout his run. When the company was at one of its lowest periods, Hiroshi Tanahashi was there. I think it is only fitting for one of the greatest professional wrestlers, not only in the world, not only to ever do it, but specifically housed in the New Japan Pro Wrestling walls, to be handed the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, and be allowed to lead from a high-ranking office position. I think a lot of the locker room, I haven't heard a negative word about Tanahashi in my entire career, let alone after this announcement. I think locker room morale is incredibly high when it comes to Hiroshi Tanahashi taking his rightful place in office. Former President Takami Obari, did a phenomenal job helping New Japan Pro Wrestling through the slug, through the detrimental time, which was the COVID-19 pandemic. But professional wrestling is all about evolution, and I truly believe if anyone's going to be able to take New Japan Pro Wrestling not only beyond those pre-COVID levels and crowds, but also beyond those that we've ever had before, I believe it is going to be the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi. And that's why I'm very excited for this matchup that we're getting coming up, the NJPW World Television Championship on the line, because I'm sure you know that World Television Championship, when first announced by New Japan Pro Wrestling Management, it was declared as a championship where the effort and the emphasis would be focused on younger talents, right? And
yeah,
you know, let's be honest here, Hiroshi Tanahashi, he's not exactly a young cat anymore, but one thing that he is the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he's hungry still for competition, because as much as some might believe Tanahashi's days of competition might be winding down, especially with his newly appointed position, and maybe they are, I'm not too certain, but I think there is an undeniable will for Tanahashi to want to win this World Television Championship and bring it back to its roots of competing and being truly a gatekeeper in every sense of the word for this young talent that we are seeing starting to evolve in New Japan Pro Wrestling. We've seen Sabre Jr. take a lot of young talent to their limits, and those young talents have taken them to their limits. I harken back to that great standout showcase for Bolton Oleg against Zack Sabre Jr. New Japan World Television Championship on the line. I don't think anyone thought Bolton Oleg had that in him, but he did. There's a multitude of matches that you could reference when it comes to Zack Sabre Jr.'s reign, but I think Tanahashi feels himself as a more worthy and a more deserving gatekeeper. And I believe that he wants to challenge that younger talent and also, you know, prove inward that he also still has that ability to take on that younger talent and walk away successful. And whoever could manage to defeat Tanahashi for the World Television Championship, especially if you're a young cat like any of these younger guys in the locker room that are hungry and want championship gold, I mean, you've secured your spot in New Japan Pro Wrestling going forward. So I think that's the motivation for Tanahashi going into this one. And of course, Zack Sabre Jr., he's talked about wanting to reach this record number of championship defenses. I believe this will be championship defense number 17 for Zack Sabre Jr. If successful by the end of it. And I think Sabre Jr. has what it takes to be able to pull out the victory over Tanahashi, but, you know, two different things on the line here. I really am going to call it a toss up here, Scott.
I think you're absolutely right. I think when it comes to betting against Hiroshi Tanahashi, you never do it. You never bet against the ace. But Zack Sabre Jr. has been unstoppable as champion. Like you were saying, he has beaten pretty much everyone that, like, he's hit the highs and lows, right? He's hit the powerhouses like Jeff Cobb. He's hit the young up-and-coming stars like a Shota Umino. He's hit the young lions like a Bolton Oleg. He has been everything you want a champion to be. And I don't think he's just going to be scared of the new president or of the ace here. But when Hiroshi Tanahashi steps in the Tokyo Dome,
right,
this you like it. This you like it in the history of pro wrestling.
And I think that another thing to keep in mind for this matchup, we've seen Hiroshi Tanahashi in the Tokyo Dome go in very long form matches, but special time limit here, as is for all World Television Championship defenses, 15 minutes on the clock. We know that Hiroshi Tanahashi may be capable of putting down an opponent within that 15 minutes, but traditionally at Wrestle Kingdom, you know, I believe he's had 15 minute plus matches up and down the card. Now, Zack Sabre Jr., I think one thing that has made him so successful is that he is capable of beating that clock and not letting that clock become a factor. We haven't seen any time limit draws or many time limit draws in Zack Sabre Jr.'s career in singles competition, because he knows exactly when and where to execute all of the maneuvers that he knows, whether it's striking or submission based. So I think the clock is really going to help Zack Sabre Jr. in this matchup. It's going to challenge Hiroshi Tanahashi, but that's what Tanahashi wants. And that's what Tanahashi wants to be going forward for younger talent when defending that World Television Championship.
100%. But the young talent will not be more prominent than this next matchup. Two of the big young stars that are trying to take New Japan by storm will face off as Yota Tsuji goes one-on-one with Yuya Uemura. This feels like, in many ways, a potential preview for a Tokyo Dome main event someday. But this is as big as it gets, I think, for these two young guys who are trying to prove themselves. Of course, Yuya Uemura is a little bit more, is a fresher face, I think. You know, we've seen Tsuji. We know what he's all about. He's had an IWGP World Heavyweight title match. He's been through the G1 climax. Yuya Uemura is still finding his feet here since returning to New Japan, right? He was in the World Tag League with Taichi, and we saw these two, you know, this is when it all started. And now we get to see these two face off. They have a history as young lions, which I think is always fun to see them take the next step. And they had a great chemistry as young lions in the ring. This isn't a very important match. This is one of the most important matches on the card, because this sets one of them up for success the rest of the year. It puts one ahead, right? We've seen the Rewa trio try to get ahead. Shota Umino and Ren Narita, they're at each other's necks and have been at each other's necks for a little bit now, after going, you know, after being friendly and being a tag team for a little bit there. These two are trying to do the same. The winner of this match is going on to greatness sooner than the other. I think all four of these young talents are destined for greatness, but this is as big as it gets for both of them. Right. What is your feeling about this match? How have you felt about Yuya since he's come back to New Japan?
You know, I've been incredibly impressed with Yuya Uemura. I've actually had the opportunity to see him, some of his matches on Excursion, even before my involvement in New Japan Pro Wrestling, competing in the Deadlock Pro Wrestling Carolina Classic, getting to witness that, you know, as a viewer of Deadlock Pro Wrestling. Of course, Yuya Uemura also competed on a variety of cards in Texas, which I've been very active in the Texas independent wrestling scene for the longest time. So yeah, you know, Yuya Uemura, I've known about him even before his return to New Japan Pro Wrestling, obviously, and he was very impressive in those showings that he had on the independents. The reason I'm referencing those independents, Scott, is because Yuya Uemura has not had a singles matchup in New Japan Pro Wrestling since his return from Excursion. And I think that that's something to have in the back of your mind. You know, is it a detriment or is it a positive for Yota Tsuji or for Yuya Uemura? I think that's a phenomenal question. On one hand, you have a guy like Yuya Uemura who, you know, he's been competing in these tag team matches. Yota Tsuji might have gotten an opportunity to feel him out, but there's no true feeling out process like when there's no one else in your opposite corner for you to turn to. There's no better opportunity to really learn what type of competitor someone is until they are on their own. I really don't believe Yota Tsuji knows what he's messing with with the young Yuya Uemura. I think he picked up a lot of tricks ever since their Young Lion days on his excursion in the United States. But that doesn't mean that I'm exactly going to award the victory hastily to Yuya Uemura, because we've seen how confident and we've seen how talented Yota Tsuji is. You referenced that IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match at Dominion. These two have really had polar opposite runs post-excursion, so to speak. You know, Yota Tsuji comes back, immediately challenges for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Yuya Uemura, it's taken this long for him to get this singles matchup. You know, I think that overall, we're going to have to watch out, you know, because reality is Yota Tsuji. My camera's going crazy right now. I have no clue what's happening. Wow. Yota Tsuji, it was very interesting to see. I'm going to turn that off for a minute and fix it in a minute. I apologize. Yota Tsuji, man, he is a guy who, he didn't want this matchup. It seemed, you know,
no,
when it came to Yuya Uemura's consistent challenges, he did not want a singles matchup. And I call that a little bit overconfident on Yota Tsuji's end, because who are you to really deny a matchup at Wrestle Kingdom? However, you know, Yuya Uemura pushed him to those limits, ended up scoring a pinfall victory over him on the last night before Korakuen. That's how this got set up. And I, for one, am very excited. I think Uemura walks in with much more motivation than Yota Tsuji does. But if Yota Tsuji gets outschooled and outclassed by someone who returned more recently than him from excursion, it's going to spell bad things for Yota Tsuji.
Just an insane record between these two because of all their Young Lions matches, 15, 10, and 22. You know, like, that is an insane amount of matches against one another. Those 22 draws is pretty funny. I don't see us getting a draw here in this match. I think as long as Tsuji doesn't show interest, that's going to hurt him in this match. He is going to be challenged by Uemura, and he's going to be forced to care by the end of this match. And I think that's the beauty of these young guys, you know, being hungry and wanting more. And that's why I'm so excited for this matchup.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here to tell you about BetOnline AG, the highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line, so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling, they got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Next up, we got the big match. You know, this one's exciting, folks. This is a mixture of a lot of chaos over this past year, right? Kaito Kiyomiya, boy, has he been busy. From kicking Okada in the side of the head to get that singles match with him to being humbled in many ways at Keiji Muto's retirement show. Then there's Shota Umino and Ren Narita. What a rivalry these two have developed. We went from them wanting to destroy each other to them being a tag team to Ren Narita turning his back and doing maybe the most dastardly thing anyone can do in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that is joining the House of Torture. And that's what brings us to this match. Will be Shota Umino and Kaito Kiyomiya facing Evil and Ren Narita. Walker, I know you've been getting into New Japan more and more since getting the job. These House of Torture guys, I'm sure you're big fans of them.
Well, fans, I don't know if I'd exactly say. I can definitely tell you I have opinions. That's for sure. Yeah, yeah. Some of them are not appropriate for the broadcast, but hey, I'll have to say this. So, you know, but I'll say this. You know, I referred on social media and even on the broadcast occasionally to House of Torture as a cult, but it's not a cult in the sense of, you know, I don't truly believe there was a recruitment of Ren Narita because, we love Ren Narita and blah, blah, blah. I think they did unlock a darker side to Ren Narita. I believe they are going to take advantage of Ren Narita. But the true effect that this had was less on Ren Narita and more on the aforementioned Shota Umino. Now, we saw the suffice to say, difficult to call it this, but I'll shoot like I shoot. You know, it is a mental breakdown that we saw from Shota Umino following the mathematic elimination of Narita and Umino from World Tag League. And then, of course, the next World Tag League Block A matchup that we saw for Umino and Narita was against House of Torture. That is exactly when the betrayal took place. And it's a day that Shota Umino will never forget. I find it incredibly poetic that two people who are at odds, at each other's throats, came together. We thought that they were going to be soulbound. We thought that they were going to be two men that at the very least always had respect for one another, but did want to do battle in singles competition against one another as well. They said that in the build up to the first ever World Tag League they competed in this year. They said the goal is World Tag League this year, Tag Team Championships at Wrestle Kingdom 18, and the main event 2025 Wrestle Kingdom 19 for the World Heavyweight Championship in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They didn't get that World Tag League. They did not get the IWGP Tag Team Championship to Wrestle Kingdom 18. Instead, they get each other in tag team action, and they're on opposite sides. So it's interesting.
Hey, guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made, and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Interesting to see how things work out. But yes, Umino wants his hands on Narita. We thought multiple times over he was going to be able to do so because they have competed technically in tag team matches against each other. But that technically is there's an emphasis there because Narita had played keep away from Shota Umino, attacking from behind, keeping it from being a legitimate contest. And while Umino did end up getting his hands on Narita, eventually you can know that enough hasn't happened for Umino to feel satisfied. It's not just going to be about a victory here. It's going to be about punishment. It's going to be about retribution. And he's enlisted the help of Kaito Kiyomiya, who, you want to talk about hard hitters. You mentioned that Kazuchika Okada kick. Hard hitter is Kaito Kiyomiya up and down the world. So I think that Shota Umino has great talent in his corner and on his side. I think an X factor in this matchup is going to be Evil. Evil had a very interesting 2023 for a multitude of reasons. However, I think Evil is the least talked about person in this matchup, and egos are egos in professional wrestling. You can know that Evil's not too happy about being one of the least talked about parts of the match, and he's going to want to stand out going into 2024. So I think a lot of people shouldn't be writing off Evil. I think a lot of people shouldn't be writing off Kaito Kiyomiya, despite how Kevin Kelly very well may go and tell you that Kaito Kiyomiya is not worth the salt that anyone gives him credit for due to his G1 performance. I think that there's a lot of talent that we're going to be seeing in this matchup. 30-minute time limit on the clock, and I know it's going to be a good one.
A former IWGP heavyweight champion, right? He held the double belts, and that's Evil. You have a multi-time GHC heavyweight champion in Kaito Kiyomiya, and then you have the two upstarts. If you're looking for a match that could, unexpectedly steal the show, I think this one has that potential just because of all the factors working here. And, the hatred between the two young talents. It's very different from Yuya and Yota Tsuji. There's a lot of care. There's a lot of hate in this match, and I think that's going to make it one worth checking out. But let's get to another title match. It is the Never Openweight Championship. Shingo Takagi defending against former champion Tama Tonga. These two have faced off quite recently. It's where Shingo Takagi won the Never Openweight Championship, and now they will run it back. Shingo Takagi has had a very interesting couple of years when it comes to Wrestle Kingdom. 2 years ago, he entered Wrestle Kingdom defending the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Last year, he was just in the Rambo, but he did get through and, of course, won the KOPW Championship, and now he will be defending the Never Openweight Championship. Tama Tonga is one of the most over professional wrestlers in New Japan. Those crowds love this man. It's going to be an interesting clash of styles. I think this is going to be a fun one. How do you feel about this one now that Tama Tonga gets his rematch?
Right. It's a rematch from Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Tama Tonga walks in to October 28th Fighting Spirit Unleashed event after challenging Shingo Takagi. I believe it was back at Royal Quest. And then, of course, that matchup happens. Veda Scott and I on the broadcast discussed the curse of the first championship defense. There are a lot of times champions across professional wrestling, they win the championship, they're overcome by excitement and by emotion. And, by the end of it, maybe are in their head a little bit too much. Maybe Tama Tonga jumped the gun a little bit by challenging Shingo Takagi as early on as he did. But that first defense did not go the way that Tama Tonga wanted. Shingo Takagi picks up the victory. This will be Shingo Takagi's second defense of the Never Openweight Championship. So we've seen that Takagi's capable of jumping over the hump of the first one. That first one was against Trent Beretta, of course, back at Lone Star Shootout. So I think Takagi walks in with a lot of momentum. Tama Tonga, despite how he may have jumped the gun, walking in wanting his fourth reign as Never Openweight Champion, looking to right the wrongs that he believed happened on October 28th at Fighting Spirit Unleashed. I think this is a simple one up and down the board. Shingo Takagi, the momentum is going to carry him forward. Tama Tonga is going to have to be a brick wall in his way, though, if he wants to walk away with the Never Openweight title.
I'm looking forward to what the Never Openweight can be again in the new year. This is the title of the top titans, I'd say, of New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? It's the Ishii title. And if you know what the way Ishii wrestles, you understand what I mean. It's the Shingo Takagi title now. And I think these two are going to do their best to top what they've done in the past with the brightest lights. And I think that's what makes for such a exciting matchup. But speaking of rematches, here's a big rematch. The IWGP Tag and Strong Openweight Tag Team titles will be Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi taking on Hikuleo and El Fantasmo. Of course, Hikuleo and El Fantasmo have been making the rounds. They've been doing a lot of interviews. They did one here, of course, with Fightful. And they've said a lot over the past couple days, whether it's the mystery around ELP and, you know, maybe his future. There's also, of course, them coming together and really becoming a dynamic duo and kind of representing GOD in, you know, this new tag team. You know, Wrestle Kingdom has a lot of history of the Guerrillas of Destiny, but this is a very new version of that. El Fantasmo has become a beloved wrestler. Hikuleo had a breakout G1 climax where he was able to make it to those semifinals. But you want to talk about great tag teams, there may be no better tag team in pro wrestling than Bishamon.
Right.
They have been holding those titles for a very long time. They won World Tag League, and they said, let's do this again one more time, but with all the belts on the line.
Well, you know, you can't, you're burying the lead here, Scott. You can't just say they won World Tag League again or whatever. Three-peat, a record, a historic three-time victory for Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto 2021, 2022, and 2023. So you want to try and talk to me and say that 2024 isn't the year of Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi? I mean, they have 3 years of momentum carrying them forward of success after success after success. That doesn't exactly mean that I think that they're walking away the victors, though, because as you mentioned, El Fantasmo and Hikuleo walk in with a chip on the shoulder of sorts, because yes, they, you know, they wanted this matchup at the Tokyo Dome. This is what they were in World Tag League for. This is the experience they wanted to have, but they wanted to be the ones who had to make the challenge. They wanted to be the ones who could say, we won World Tag League 2023. We earned this shot. I know that there are some members of the tag team division that do not believe El Fantasmo and Hikuleo truly earned their shot at Wrestle Kingdom 18 against Bishamon. I think that, you know, there's some debate to be had there, but tell me this, who else went 40 plus minutes with Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto during World Tag League? I know that we had 30-minute time limits on everything but the finals. Atlantis Jr. and Soberano Jr. ended up taking Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto to a time limit draw. But would that have gone to 40 minutes? We didn't have enough time to find out. But El Fantasmo and Hikuleo took it to that place. I mean, you want to talk ELP as well. Star-making performance in that matchup. If there was a time where I believed anyone could defeat Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto, it was during that match. El Fantasmo and Hikuleo are going to have to try and recapture that magic at Wrestle Kingdom 18. And I think it's going to be a hard thing to do. Both of these teams walking in on their third defenses for their respective championships in their current reigns. We're talking multiple time champions in Yoshihashi and Hirooki Goto, who have been a team for as long as they have. El Fantasmo and Hikuleo can't exactly say the same thing. So when you're looking at the tail of the tape on paper, you would go with Bishamon as the winners of this matchup. But El Fantasmo and Hikuleo, they're walking in different dogs, so to speak, different gorillas, and their destiny very well may lie with new tag team championships and retaining the ones that they've held on to for the past few months.
I don't think this will be going 40 minutes this time around. I think that's my big take. I think these two teams, they know each other. You know, they're very fresh in each other's minds. This is going to feel more like a continuation of that 40-minute fight, that 40-minute battle to win World Tag League. And there's two pairs of belts on the line here. That is as big as it gets for tag team wrestling. You know, it's not just the IWGP tags, those strong tags. You know, Bishamon knows what it's like to hold those titles. And I think that's what creates such excitement for this matchup. I see these two teams slugging it out, and I think it's just going to come to who on GOD can, you know, overcome Bishamon. Is that possible? Can you overcome Bishamon?
Right. Well, you know, I think a point is to be made that there is some overlap with these teams, and one factor that I think is going to play into this matchup a lot. What Yoshihashi has is there are certain things Yoshihashi has in his ability and his style that Hirooki Goto cannot reproduce. There are certain things that El Phantasmo can do that, try as he might, Hikaleo just does not have that same impact or ability. And there are things that Hikaleo can do, specifically in that power and height department, that strength department, that El Phantasmo can't replicate either. So both team members on each team complement each other so well that I know we're going to be getting a competitive match out of this. It's why they went 40 minutes before. It's why it was such a compelling matchup when it happened in Block B in the early goings of World Tag League. So, you know, I definitely don't know which horse I would back in this, so to speak. Definitely not Masked Horse. I don't think he's going to be on the Wrestle Kingdom card, but Bishamon and G.O.D., it's going to be one to watch out for. This is definitely going to be a tag team matchup that you're going to want to have your eye on.
If there's a match that could steal the show before the big three, it's this one right here. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. It is a story rivalry going head to head here. Hiromu Takahashi, El Desperado. For me, it doesn't get better than this, especially in junior wrestling.
Right.
These two have had wars with each other. They have arguably the best match of the COVID era of New Japan. And I'll, you know, we saw Desperado unmask himself in that match. That is not something that he does lightly, obviously. Right. He is a wrestler of great respect. These two are 3-3-1 against one another. There's no advantage here.
No, not at all. Not from a numbers perspective. If there's any advantage that anyone's going to have, it might be Hiromu Takahashi, who walks into his eighth defense of his current IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship reign. I want to harken back to Wrestle Kingdom 17 for a brief moment. I've talked about it on the New Japan broadcast English coverage in the past, but Hiromu Takahashi competed in a four-way matchup where he then won the junior heavyweight championship. So he's slowly approaching 365 days with that championship. In that four-way was Taiji Ishimori, Master Wato, and El Desperado. It was Master Wato. He first defended that championship against successfully. He defended it against Taiji Ishimori at Power Struggle, who was the previous champion walking into Wrestle Kingdom 17. There is one more man that Hiromu Takahashi feels that he has to beat to secure himself and his legacy in this current reign as IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. It is El Desperado as that last man. This is a full circle moment in every single way you can picture it for Hiromu Takahashi. And, you know, when you talk about El Desperado, it's clear as day. He's never exactly said he wanted to be the flag bearer of the junior heavyweight division or of New Japan Pro Wrestling itself. However, I argue this: if you are as talented as El Desperado is, why would you keep competing in the minor leagues, so to speak? Why would you only be going for AAA, AA, single A championships when you could be competing in the World Series? And this is the World Series of professional wrestling here at Wrestle Kingdom. El Desperado, the biggest prize in junior heavyweight wrestling on the line. I don't have a pick here. Once again, I'm not trying to be that guy. Reality is, though, it's hard to pick between these two until you're in the moment, until you feel where the energy lies in the building. Because as you know, Scott, sometimes these crowds can really influence the momentum and the energy that professional athletes feel. It can affect you emotionally. Is Desperado going to get rocked emotionally? Is Takahashi going to do the same? We're going to have to find out. Wrestle Kingdom 18, January 4th.
I think when it comes to El Desperado, no pun intended here, there will be desperation to win. There will be a need to win here. 2023 was a year of him doing a lot of fun, different things. But he's here for one thing, and it's that belt, ultimately. And Hiromu is going on a year now. He's held the belt for a year as of January 4th. It's been one heck of a run. He's defended this up and down the card. He has went everywhere to face the best of the best over the past year. He so desperately wanted to be the Tokyo Sports MVP. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it. And maybe there's determination extra determination to win here, not just to keep his title, but to prove that not only were they wrong about that, but he deserves that respect this upcoming year. I think there's a lot at stake here besides just the title, but yeah, the title is what we're talking about.
It was in the backstage comments, actually, that El Desperado, keep in mind, invited Master Watto to accompany him to ringside, which is a relationship I don't think I expected to blossom when we're looking at the 2023 bingo card. We saw Master Watto and Desperado in tag team competition on the last night in Corican Hall, when the, of course, Desperado and Watto would end up walking away with the victory. So, anything can happen. Watto may or may not be ringside. The invitation's out there. Maybe that is something that's going to will Desperado to victory, unlike what they were able to do in Super Junior Tag Week. So we're going to have to find out.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to something new here. It is the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. The first ever champion will be crowned after David Finlay destroyed the IWGP US and UK championships. He said enough is enough. We don't even know what the belt looks like yet. But what we do know is that three top contenders will face off. We have Will Ospreay, who of course in some ways is kind of like a defending champion. You know, his titles are gone, but he is going to try to win this. We have Jon Moxley. What's there to say about Jon Moxley that hasn't been said over the past couple of years? Right. There may be no one better. He calls himself the ace of the world for a reason. And then there's David Finlay. David Finlay has watched himself surge up the class in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He took Bullet Club. He didn't get, you know, he wasn't handed. No, he took Bullet Club in a big way. He is the rebel. He leads the War Dogs, and he is the wild card of this match. We know what Ospreay is going to bring.
Yes,
it could be his last Wrestle Kingdom. We don't know. It could be his last Wrestle Kingdom. Jon Moxley, like I said, he's Jon Moxley. But David Finlay, he's the wild card in every which way. You've watched David Finlay closely over the past couple months, especially getting ready for this match. You saw him destroy those belts. What does David Finlay bring to the table in a match that involves, you know, two guys that I think people look at as, you know, maybe a level above him as David Finlay tries to get to that?
Yeah, you want to talk about a chip on a shoulder, right? You're not going to find a bigger one than it's placed right next to the mallet on the shoulder of David Finlay. It's a large chip. You can't see it, but I promise it's there. And David Finlay is actually incredibly self-aware. He knows that. He knows that a lot of people are not expecting him to walk away with a victory in a matchup with, one Will Ospreay, who many consider to be the best in the world going today, Jon Moxley, one of the most unpredictable competitors you'll find in all of professional wrestling, but seemingly always finds himself in winning standing when it comes in the country of Japan, in New Japan Pro Wrestling specifically. And that's why it's going to be even sweeter for David Finlay if he can manage to defeat both of them, rub it in the faces of not only Ospreay, of Moxley, of Shota Umino, of anyone else that's watching, of the fans at the Tokyo Dome. And, you know, that's the goal for David Finlay going in here. You know, he said at Power Struggle that in the U.S. they think he's Irish. In Ireland, they think he's American. In Japan, they don't care about him. There is a level of vitriolic nature that we're going to see unleashed from David Finlay. I think it's going to be one of the most aggressive matches in David Finlay's career. And it's, again, hard to pick in this one, but if there's anyone who has more to prove in a three-way matchup for a new championship, a new era of the Global Heavyweight Championship in New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's going to be David Finlay that has the most to lose and the most to gain. But, you know, my good pal Chris Charlton said it best himself, the world comes to fight the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion and the Global Heavyweight Champion goes to fight the world. So whoever walks away with this championship, you know they're going to be representing New Japan Pro Wrestling, whether it's Will Ospreay or Jon Moxley who do it willingly, whether it's David Finlay who does it only for himself and begrudgingly for the company, all across the world. I can't wait to see what happens not only in this matchup as a match specifically and in containment, but also with the Global Heavyweight Championship itself. I think it's a new and interesting concept going into 2024, especially when there have been talks in New Japan Pro Wrestling and Bushiroad making public statements about potential expansion into Southeast Asia, continuing growing the market in New Japan strong in the United States, and even outside of Southeast Asia, going into other continents and countries as well. So I can't wait for this, and we're going to have to wait to see how it goes down, Wrestle Kingdom 18.
There's an interesting twist to this match where it's David Finlay almost trying to protect New Japan, right? He's the signed talent to this company. I don't know if he sees it that way. I don't know if he's trying to protect New Japan, but maybe fans will in that respect. Of course, Will Ospreay, we know that he has another date after this, and that's at Battle in the Valley.
Right.
Against one Kazuchika Okada.
Right.
Well, you know, we haven't got the match graphic, but he said, if I win this match, I'm putting the global title on the line there. And that brings us to the big special singles match, the rematch from Forbidden Door 2. It'll be Kazuchika Okada going one-on-one with Bryan Danielson. I don't know if there is a match that just screams all-timer than this one. You look at the mat, you look at the card here if you're watching the video, and you know that this is going to be something special.
Right. There, I mean, all-timer. You already know, Scott. You already know. I personally enjoyed their matchup at Forbidden Door, and we saw the result of that one. Okada now has Bryan Danielson, who's going to be coming in on his home turf, right? Who better in the Tokyo Dome outside of maybe an argument to be made for the aforementioned Hiroshi Tanahashi than Kazuchika Okada, right? A lot of success has come for Okada in the Tokyo Dome. Meanwhile, we haven't even seen Bryan Danielson in New Japan Pro Wrestling since 2004, teaming alongside Curry Man as IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. So, you know, it's a bit of a difference for stage, right? It's a bit of a difference when we talk about what's on the line. No championships on the line, yet it's treated exactly as important as a title matchup. 60 minutes on the clock for Danielson and Okada. And it wouldn't shock me if this went the full 60 in the Tokyo Dome with Danielson having as much motivation as he does, with Okada having the exact same. But you have to keep in mind that Bryan Danielson's beaten down. He's just competed through a very, very grueling Continental Classic in All Elite Wrestling. He has made it very public that he is winding down his professional career. He's gone on record to call this one of his, if not the last active year for the American Dragon. What a way to start the cap off, so to speak, with a matchup at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom. But Okada says he's going to send Danielson into early retirement, that he's not going to be able to hold his own child by the time that Okada's done with him. I'd be freaked out. I'd be scared if I was Danielson, having one of the greatest professional wrestlers in the world saying that they were going to do that to me. I'd be scared if I wasn't one of the greatest professional wrestlers in the world, and if I wasn't named Bryan Danielson, right?
We are getting these two in their primes, head to head in the Tokyo Dome.
Right.
There's something to be said about Bryan Danielson stepping into Wrestle Kingdom and wrestling Okada, just from a spectacle standpoint, right? Many times when we talk about these big events, I think we can forget about the spectacle aspect. The you know, feels bigger than life itself. And when these two face off with a roaring crowd, there may not be anything better. And that's not a shot at anything in pro wrestling. That's not a shot at anything on this card. But it's very rare you get two of the best ever to go head-to-head in their states. And like you said, Bryan Danielson, he is beat down. But Bryan Danielson's always beat down. That doesn't, you know, it almost doesn't matter when it's him because he knows where he has to be. And he has really talked down Okada. Right. In the most recent video released by New Japan, he overlooked a lot of Okada's training. He kind of mocked Okada in many ways, which that's not something you do. You don't anger the Rainmaker. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. He's already angry. You know, he's already angry. He has a loss. He needs to avenge that loss. And their history of they faced each other twice, once in a tag, once in the singles. Danielson's won both, but Danielson's got hurt in both. That's something worth watching in this match. If you're looking for your, you know, match of the year contenders, if you're looking for your five-star classics, I'm sure this is at the very top of that. This should be absolutely sensational. But let's get to what I think is certainly one of the most talked about Wrestle Kingdom main events in recent history. Maybe it's not a good thing, the way people are talking about it, but it's talked about nonetheless. It is Sonata defending the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against the G1 Climax winner, Tetsuya Naito. And I'll just say this, and Walker, I know you'll get into this because there's a lot of people not sold on this match. There's a lot of people not sold on the idea of Sonata main eventing the Tokyo Dome. There's a lot of outcry from Western fans. They would prefer to see Okada and Danielson main event with no title on the line. There's a lot more history to this match than maybe anyone's giving credit to. 18 years. New Japan really.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's one of the best videos I've seen all year hyping up this match. These two go back to training, go back to trying out, and we've seen them, right? They have a history together, whether it's through their Keiji Muto connections, whether it's through being part of LIJ together, or if it's all about just winning the big one and proving you belong. Naito's fighting for that roll call. He wants that roll call to close out Tokyo Dome. This might be that last chance to do that. We know Tetsuya Naito's health isn't tip-top shape. Those knees are in rough shape, but he's still Tetsuya Naito. And Sonata, you know, people don't want to give him credit. I will give him credit because I think he has stepped up. Maybe not selling this match like people want him to. The match sells itself for me. It does. Yeah. There is a history there that goes beyond LIJ, that goes beyond, like I said, 18 years go into this. And when the lights are brightest, when the main event of Wrestle Kingdom kicks in, there's no one I believe in more to deliver than Tetsuya Naito.
Well, you know, let's talk about each competitor's individual belief and position, because this is the thing with this main event, and it's why I feel some people are having a tough time with on an investment side, maybe, especially when the World Heavyweight Champion doesn't want to do any talking about it. And we'll talk about that in a minute and why I believe that is and how that plays into this matchup effectively. You know, Tetsuya Naito, we talked about it on the New Japan broadcast a few times in the past. Chris Charlton's mentioned it himself as well on social media. The ocular surgery that Tetsuya Naito has had, that was able to have a limited three times on his eye, that was going to keep him active, keep it functional. There's a degenerative vision loss that Tetsuya Naito is experiencing. He has had that surgery for the final time, the third time. He will not be able to have it anymore. So you want to talk about the health of Tetsuya Naito being in jeopardy. Yeah, sure, you can talk about the knees, you can talk about the spine, you can talk about the neck, but you have to be thinking about that eye. I believe, if I remember correctly, it was a similar issue that Milano Collection AT had that ended up really, you know, a detriment to his in-ring career. So when we talk about Naito, that's something that you have to have in mind. And I think it's frustrating for Naito to know, hey, I put in all this effort to win G1 Climax 33 this year. I've been putting in all this effort to talk about this World Heavyweight Championship match, try and pack out the dome for what very well could be Tetsuya Naito's last time at Wrestle Kingdom at the Tokyo Dome. And his challenger does not want to say a word about it. And there's a couple things to that with Sonata. First off, I think that Sonata is reverting a bit to his LIJ state. He was never the most talkative in the world. He never had a million things to say. We saw Sonata start to come out of his shell with the formation of Just Five Guys, winning the World Heavyweight Championship, winning New Japan Cup, a million other things. But I think with knowing that he's going to be stepping into the ring with Tetsuya Naito, Sonata has, whether it's intentionally or not, put himself back in that shell. And it is a shell that, while it may be protective, it is going to have a lot more artillery thrown at you because you're in it, because the world sees you in it. So Sonata, you know, he has a lot of negative criticism going his way for his lack of willingness to give backstage comment, to talk about the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match at the Tokyo Dome main event. But he believes that it's not how much you want to talk. It is how it is settled in the ring. He knows all about the 18-year history. Tetsuya Naito talks all about the 18-year history. But just because Naito talks about it doesn't mean that Sonata isn't going to be feeling it, and doesn't mean that Sonata is not going to be putting the hurt in on Naito because of that 18 years of what is pent up. Sonata believes that he was held back in LIJ by Naito. I think that there's a conversation to be had there, whether you disagree or you agree. Sonata feels that way, and there's no changing that. I believe at the end of the day, what both of these competitors want is the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. But we've seen Naito and the way that he's respected belts, respected championships in the past. I don't think it's as much about the World Heavyweight Championship for either competitor as much as what that championship represents. And I think for Sonata and Naito, it represents two completely different things. For Naito, it is that poetic conclusion of the roll call that we never got to have due to that interference in the cutoff from Kenta. For Sonata, I believe it is the respect of the fans finally gaining the adoration in full, in totality. None of this half and half, half Sonata, half Naito. Sonata believes that leaving it all in the ring and not talking, but acting on what you need to do to secure your spot, to secure your place in history with a Tokyo Dome main event victory and still World Heavyweight Champion announced at the end when the lights go out and the camera phone lights come on, Sonata being the one alone in the ring. There's a lot of layers to this one, folks. There's a lot, and I do encourage you to check out that beautifully produced video by the NJPW World Team on the New Japan Pro Wrestling YouTube if you want to hear all about that 18-year history. And of course, Chris Charlton and I are going to be breaking it down on the broadcast on the English side of things for Wrestle Kingdom 18 as well. But man, as you said, this matchup on paper, the history between these two, Scott, I could not be more fired up. There is no better first for me. This is my first World Heavyweight Championship match in New Japan Pro Wrestling I'm ever getting to call. I would not choose any other one than this Sonata Naito main event. It's going to tear the house down.
100%. And I think it's worth noting the last time Tetsuya Naito held a championship, it was alongside Sonata as IWGP Tag Team Champions. Now, it wasn't for long. That was the last time. Naito has been working and working and working and working to get back here. When he finally thought he was going to get his roll call, to get his moment, we know what happened. Kenta ruined that in 2020. This is his, like you said, this not only might be his last chance to do that, this might be his last Wrestle Kingdom period. We don't know. So Naito is going to, just like he did on those last two nights of the G1, give everything it takes to win this title and call himself champion. And Sonata's beaten some of the biggest names in wrestling over the past year. He won this title by beating what felt like an unbeatable Kazuchika Okada, right? The way Okada's year started, no one ever thought that that was going to happen. And look at Sonata now. He has carried this title. Whether you love him or hate him, he's going to head into this match and put on a show because he wants to walk out as champion, like you said. Wrestle Kingdom 18, January 4th. It is the show everyone needs to go see on NewJapanWorld.com. Go subscribe now. You get the entire show. There's no extra fee, folks. You subscribe, you get one of the biggest wrestling events of the year. Walker, let us know where we can find you, what we should know, what else we should know about Wrestle Kingdom, and anything else.
Well, Wrestle Kingdom 18 is going to be incredible. As Scott said, we just ran down the entire card, plus that Tokyo Dome City Hall IWGP Women's Championship match. I hope everyone supports not only the New Japan Pro Wrestling-centered events, but also those of the All Japan variety, of the Pro Wrestling NOAH variety, Dragon Gate, anything else that might be running during Wrestle Kingdom week. This is the premier week for professional wrestling in Japan, and it is going to have worldwide influence. I can guarantee you that. So, Wrestle Kingdom 18 is happening. The next night after that, of course, is going to be New Year Dash. We know for a fact we'll be seeing the four-way to crown KOPW. There is opportunity for other championship matches as well. Nothing confirmed, of course, but it would not shock me to see a never six-man tag team championship matchup with Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hiroshi Tanahashi challenging or putting the titles on the line, of course. We're just going to have to find out what happens. New Year Dash is always a great turning point that also sets the tone, just like Wrestle Kingdom 18 will for the new year. You can find me, of course, on all social media at Velvet Voice WS. You see it on your screen now. After Wrestle Kingdom concludes, twitch.tv/Velvet Voice WS. As soon as I get back to my hotel, I am actually going to be doing a bit of a recap stream, a breakdown stream. I'll be 5 hours done with the show, and I will be incredibly tired and probably just want to sleep. But that means you're going to get real raw authenticity, as you always do, out of me. And I'll probably be yelling and going crazy because it's going to be a great night. And I'm super fired up. I'm honored to be able to do this, not only this interview with you, Scott, but also to be able to call Wrestle Kingdom for the very first time and many, many times going forward.
Like you said, New Year's Dash, the day following, Mystery Vortex style. No one knows what's going on besides that KOPW title match. Maybe that's when we start to see the pieces that Hiroshi Tanahashi as president starts to put together. That's always exciting, too. It was a year ago that Kazuchika Okada teamed with Kenny Omega in the main event of New Year's Dash. So it's definitely a show you're going to want to check out. Walker, thank you so much for coming on here. Wrestle Kingdom, January 4th, live from the Tokyo Dome. I believe the pre-show starts at 2:30 a.m. Eastern for those who want to stay up and witness a very special show. I know Stardom's Itaeon Stardom Gate Show starts at 11 p.m. Eastern on the 3rd. So if you want to kind of get the double dose there, that's what you got to do. In terms of Fightful, we'll be back right after Wrestle Kingdom to review the show as of now. Now, if that changes, my bad. But as that is the plan as of now, and it's looking like it's going to be one heck of a show. So for Walker, I'm Scott. Make sure to check out Wrestle Kingdom and all of Japanese pro wrestling during the two most packed weeks in their schedule. Until next time, see ya.
You know how to book flights and hotels.
All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.